Our lesson today comes from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 46. Hear God's word. When the Pharisees heard how Jesus had bested the Sadducees, they gathered their forces for an assault. One of their religious scholars spoke for them, posing a question they hoped would show him up. "Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important?" And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them." As the Pharisees were regrouping, Jesus caught them off balance with his own test question. "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said, "David's son." And Jesus replied, "Well, if Christ is David's son, how do you explain that David, under inspiration, named Christ his master? God said to my master, 'Sit here at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Now, if David calls him master, how can he at the same time be his son?" That stumped them, literalists that they were. And unwilling to risk losing face again in one of these public verbal exchanges, they quit asking questions for good. May God give us understanding of his holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. They were out to trap him. And they were out to trap Jesus because they were more interested in their own needs, their own aspirations, their own greed, their own strategic plan for how they wanted to live in this world and how they expected to do it. Many of you, years ago as kids, maybe learned the Ten Commandments. Do you know how many commandments the Pharisees had? They had lists and lists. They had, in fact, 613 commandments. And among those, 365 of them were negatives. Thou shalt not. 365. Thou shalt not. And another 268. Thou shalt. All about the rules. But less because they wanted to follow God than because they were looking to trip people up. In fact, if you go further on into chapter 23, Jesus attacks them for this. He says, "You frauds, I've had it with you. You're hopeless, you religious scholars, you Pharisees. Frauds, your lives are roadblocks to God's kingdom. You refuse to enter and won't let anyone else in either." Roadblocks. Let's be honest for just a second. How many have you at times found the church to be more of a roadblock to knowing God than actually helping you in your faith journey? That's a tough question, isn't it? And it's a tough question for me as a pastor to ask you, because I hope and pray that you will not find us to be a roadblock in your faith journey. And that's why you will hear me not go through rules and rules and rules and rules and legalisms, but why you will hear me tell you over and over that if you remember nothing else from this Bible, remember that it's all about loving God and loving neighbor. That's it in a nutshell. It's about us learning ways to love God. And one of those ways to love God is to share that love with our neighbor. It's looking around and seeing the faces of people we know, everyone we know, even the ones who make us crazy, and being able to see that they are children of God too. And knowing that in God's terms, the needs of all of us are important. And how different might this world be if, as we live together, we had as much concern for the needs and the lives of other people as we do for ourselves. If we saw them as an extension of us. If we realize that we can have all the wealth in the world, but if there are people that are going hungry, that's us going hungry. That's a whole different way of looking at the world than what we're taught out there. Out there, it's dog eat dog. And you've been on the receiving end of that, haven't you? You've worked with people who were strategically like those Pharisees who were playing the politics and playing all kinds of games to get what they need, and often at your expense. You know that world. We all know that world. The hard part for us as God's children is to not get sucked into that and to not buy into that and to think that the only way for us to survive and the only way for us to make it is by following those rules instead of the rule of love. Some of you know that I'm a big fan of a pastor who was out here in New Jersey at one time, now living in Wisconsin, Reverend Dan R. Dick. And Reverend Dan had a recent piece in his blog that really caught my eye. And he was remembering back to when he pastored these four different churches in New Jersey, sort of northeastern New Jersey. And each one had a very different concept of how the church should be. He said that it was during the 80s, and it was when garden clubs were really, really popular, and each of these four churches were really into gardening, but all in very different ways. He said the first church was a really wealthy church, and the women and sometimes some of the men would gather for regular gatherings that would be catered with lovely food, and it would just be a very beautiful setting, and in it they would share slideshows of their beautiful gardens. Now, they were not the ones who got out and did gardening themselves, but they had an eye for it. And so they would pay people to come and design the gardens and put them in, and they would purchase exotic plants from all over the world. And oh, these were like museum pieces, these gardens. They were absolutely gorgeous. And then there was a second church. That first one, they really loved the garden. The second church, they loved the gardening. They liked the actual act, and they liked getting their, you know, fingers dirty, the dirt under their fingernails, and getting out there and doing it themselves. And they too had these gatherings, and they would be balancing the paper plates on their laps and talking and again showing slideshows and sharing tips among themselves and talking about how fun it was to be out there and working in their garden. And they loved that gardening. The third group was a little bit different. They also loved gardening, but they liked to really spread that love of gardening. So they were active on the community boards and things. They were pushing to make sure that there were beautiful flowers in public spaces. And you know, they were just continually selling the idea of beautiful gardens to their community. And they wanted their community to be beautiful and to really celebrate the beauty of plants. And then there was the fourth church. And that one was a little bit different from the others. That church was one of the first to actually create a community garden before they became as popular. And so part of what their plan was They certainly wanted to share their passion for gardening, but they knew that maybe gardening wasn't everybody's thing. They also knew that there were a lot of people that were having problems just getting food. And so in that community garden, they were able to grow things and share them with the soup kitchens and share them with people who were, you know, short on food. They were able to teach people how to garden in their own yards. And they were also able to get together on a regular basis as a community, and they'd trade recipes and they'd cook things together. And so there was a place for everybody to use their particular joy and talent and to kind of get to know each other. It was less a matter about making everybody gardeners than just kind of coming together as a community and seeing that needs were met and seeing that they were family together. Well, Reverend Dan said that each of those four kinds of gardens in many ways represent the different ways that God's family is the church. Many of us have been in big, fancy churches, you know, where everything seems to be, you know, really fancy and beautiful and, you know, if something's needed, they write a check. They don't worry too much about, you know, rolling up their sleeves and doing it themselves. They want to worship in a nice place. They want to have nice music. They want everything to be perfect. And you pay a staff to do the ministry stuff. And then there's a second kind of church that we see all the time. And they're ones who, they may be more involved in the ministry and more involved in doing things, but it's still pretty much church-centered. Still a matter of kind of coming to the church with the idea of, what can the church do for me? And then we see another kind too. We see a third church where people are active and going out in the community, but it's still kind of about them. And it's a preaching and proselytizing and a sharing, but about, you need to come and be part of us. And it overlooks the fact that maybe not everybody fits with them. But it's still kind of a, you know, my way or the highway attitude. And then we look at a fourth way. A way that recognizes that we're all different. We all have needs. And that people have different ways of hearing and seeing. And that as we live out faith in the community, helping each other in ways that we can, seeing needs, sharing, being part of service to others, sometimes being on the receiving end, sometimes being on the giving end, it makes a difference. And it's a whole different kind of way of being the church. Well, over the last few years, as you know, we have been on a discovery process of really trying to listen and hear how God is calling us, who He's calling us to be. What kind of church? What kind of people? And I think that in our conversations, we've more and more come to realize that we're called to be more like the fourth church. A church that is not always specifically saying, you must. Not a church that's always saying, thou shalt not, and thou shalt. But a church that is there to spread God's love. And in ways that don't require us to always use God speak. You know that old saying about, I'm always preaching, sometimes I use words. It's an awareness that our actions all the time either reflect what we say we believe, or they don't. And as we've tried to really hear God and God's leading, we've even thought a lot about what that means in terms of our mission statement. And what we have been looking at is more an attitude of knowing, growing, and going. In other words, creating an environment where people can know God, can learn about Him, grow close to Him. A place where people can grow in their faith and know that God is with them each step of the way, but also that there is a community of believers who are there to support them and love them in their journey. And then the third thing, very, very critical, not just saying where it's safe and comfortable, but going. Going into our community and finding ways to be, as we say so often, God's hands and feet. Where are the needs? How can we show the face of Christ to others in our day-to-day life? And this morning, later, we are going to have a special guest, Kathy Perlow. We're very, very, very blessed. Kathy is not only the volunteer coordinator up at the Time Bank up in Allentown that we've been looking at, and we've been talking to you about time banking, a sharing of each other's abilities, an hour for an hour, valuing other people, building community. But Kathy is also the national co-director of their board of directors. And so she has been kind of taking us under her wing and is going to be helping us to get our own time bank going in this community. And so she's with us here this morning, and then she will be also meeting with us early in November for a follow-up meeting for all those who are interested in knowing more. But the thing is, it comes down to this. The reason why we're here, the reason why we're connected to each other, the reason why we worship is to love God and to learn how to love each other. And not just as talk, but as action. It's not about earning our way into heaven. It's not about getting on God's good side. It's a matter of finding ways to really live out what we say we believe, loving God and loving each other. Let us pray. Almighty God, love is not easy. But Lord, we pray that in all we do and all we say and the way we live our lives, that we will continually realize that our purpose in life is to love you and to love each other and to really live it. Give us the strength and the energy and the desire to do so. In your name we pray. Amen.